This morning we invite you to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll be reading the first 10 verses of this chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against all the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This morning we want to continue on with that of our study of 2 Peter chapter 3, and our focus this morning will be verses 8 and 9, where Peter writes, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we've been studying here in chapter 3 of 2 Peter for several weeks now, and we have found Peter writing with regards to the scoffers. In verse 3, he told his readers, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, these scoffers or mockers, false teachers, they were asking a question. And that question was, where is the promise of his coming? They also were maintaining that everything had stayed the same from the time of creation. That nowhere in the history of man had God intervened. Well, Peter made it very clear in verses 5, 6, and 7 that this was not true. He told them that God had intervened. It intervened, first of all, in creation, in bringing about that of creation. Secondly, he had intervened when he had destroyed the world by the flood. And that thirdly, in the future, God would intervene again, and that intervention would be with that of fire. This brings us to the verses which are before us. In verse 8, Peter begins then, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now, the first thing that we'd like to draw your attention to is those to whom Peter addresses himself to here. In the beginning of this chapter, he addressed the beloved. verses 1 and 2. In verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, his focus, rather than being upon that of addressing the beloved per se, was that of speaking about the scoffers. Now, here in verse 8, he returns back to that of the beloved, and he addresses them directly like he had done back in verses 1 and 2. He says, "But, beloved." Now, who was Peter speaking of when he addressed these ones as beloved? Well, they were ones who were, we could say, most definitely dear unto Peter. For he calls them beloved. But not only were they ones who were beloved to Peter, but they were also beloved of God. Over in 1 Peter, which is the first epistle that Peter writes, he says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Here, as we note in the beginning of this first epistle, Peter, he identifies himself and he identifies those to whom he is writing to, and he identifies them as strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then you'll note he describes them as the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The elect, or the chosen. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Combining these two verses here that we have in that of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, we see Peter gives us additional description of those to whom he describes here as the beloved. They're chosen. They're ones who have obtained like precious faith, and he says, obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Going back to our text, he says, but beloved. You note there's a but there in the beginning of verse number 8. And this but is a contrast that Peter is going to set before us. The contrast has to do with those who were described as scoffers or mockers in the earlier part of the verses here, and that of what they were stating, and that of reality. That of reality. "But, beloved, be not ignorant." Be not ignorant. Or the idea here is be not forgetful. Be not forgetful. Be not ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old. I'm in the wrong verse. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." The scoffers or the mockers, they were questioning the coming of the Lord. They were saying that he was slack in his promise in bringing it to pass. And Peter says, that's not true. Peter says, that's not true. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now, what is that one thing? That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, first of all, we would say to you that Peter here is not giving us that of a formula by which that we can find the exact time of the coming of the Lord here. No, you'll note here that Peter, as he writes it, he says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Or the idea here is like that of 1,000 years. What is Peter saying here? Peter is telling his readers that the mockers are wrong. They're saying that the Lord is slack in his promises, and he's not, because his timing is not that of their timing. No, God's time, God's perspective is different from that of man's perspective as far as time is concerned. And so Peter here is telling his readers, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But he says, God's perspective of time is different from that of the scoffers. This phrase is brought from that of Psalm 90 by the Apostle Peter. If you turn with me over to Psalm 90, this is a psalm by Moses. He says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. The psalmist here, as he pins these words, he sets forth that of the greatness of the Lord, that of the fact that he is eternal, that he is not bound by that of time, whereas man, he is a creature of time. And so Peter here, he says, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So, why hasn't the Lord come back? Peter gives us a reason here. He says, it isn't time. It isn't time for him to come back yet. But you'll note in verse number 9, the Apostle Peter, he goes on to give us a second reason. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The second reason which Peter gives as to why the Lord has not come back is that of the long-suffering of the Lord. The long-suffering of the Lord. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The Lord is not slack. This is, of course, Peter replying in regards to the opinion of that of the mockers. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now, the specific promise that Peter is referring to here is the promise of his coming. The false teachers were saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is this Lord who has promised that he would come? Well, Peter says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He emphatically makes this statement. He says, as some men count slackness. Now, the immediate reference here, of course, has to do with the mockers, the false teachers that are spoken of back in chapter 2. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Long-suffering. What does Peter mean when he says the Lord is long-suffering? Well, as I looked at the various translations, the ones that I looked at, they either had long-suffering or they had patient. Patient. The Hebrew word means long nose or breathing. One writer gave the example of a bull. A snorting bull, which would indicate this bull was angry and was ready to go after somebody, perhaps. An emblem of passionate anger is what the writer was setting forth. God is not like a snorting bull. He's not in hurry to punish that of his foe. No, rather, the Lord, which Peter sets before us here, is one who has a large capacity to hold his anger until the right time and in the right manner. He says the Lord is long-suffering to usward. To usward. Now, who is Peter speaking of? To usward is the King James translation. Later translations has long-suffering to you. Who is Peter writing to? Who is Peter addressing here? Is he not addressing the beloved? He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have another word that we would draw your attention to here, and that word is any. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Any. That any should perish. Who again is he referring to? The word any and the word all are indefinite pronouns here in the text. There is a reference in the text that they refer back to. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any, that is, any of us or you should perish, but that all, that is, reference goes back to that of any, to that of usward, all the way back to beloved. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, the beloved, not willing that any of us, the beloved, should perish, but that all of us, the beloved, should come to repentance. Peter here identifies the ones that he is speaking of here by these pronouns. The Lord is not slackening concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. Not willing. Here we have the will of God being spoken of here. It's also translated in other translations as desire. Not desiring that any should perish. Perish. Be lost. Now, again, we ask the question, who is he speaking of? He's speaking of the beloved. Who are the beloved? We ask you that question again. Peter has given us some identification of the beloved as we look back in the beginnings of these epistles, hasn't he? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, those who have obtained like precious faith. I invite you back to that of the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul, in writing to the saints at Ephesus, beginning with verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the will of God, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Beloved, those who are the chosen of God, that Paul writes of here, they were predestinated unto the adoption of children. In love, we're told that this was done. So, as we put all of these verses together, the beloved here that Peter speaks of is that of the chosen people of God. You say, well, these ones to whom Peter was writing to, they had already obtained my precious faith. Exactly. They had. But in Peter's day, and just as it is in that of our day, there are some who have not yet come to that of faith in Jesus Christ. They haven't come to that of repentance and that of faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Beloved, it's not the Lord's will that any of those that He has chosen back in eternity, that any of those be lost, but that all should come to repentance. Why hasn't Christ come back? God has His own time. It's not time yet. Why hasn't the Lord come back? God is long-suffering, patient, not willing that any should perish. And the gospel message is to that of all. All who will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. They shall be saved. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth unto me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Any who come in repentance and faith will not be turned away. There's some verses over in the book of Ezekiel that we want to read to you. "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" Note the question. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? That is, die in that of their sins. They should not return, or that he should return from his ways and live. That's Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. No, the invitation which goes out is turn, repent, believe. Why hasn't the Lord come back? It's not time yet. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And as we read there in John chapter 6, not one will be lost. Not one will be lost. In the back of our bulletin, if you have one, we have an old hymn that we invite you to sing with us.
The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet. upon its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted and destroyed, if they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
All right, we remind you of the afternoon services. We'll be back at 4. We'll be preaching from that at verse number 10 here in the passage on the day of the Lord. That's for the donkey.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you that we have the Holy Scripture, Lord, for the revelation of thy will and of thy purpose. Thank you that you are gracious and long-suffering. We know that not one lost sheep can be lost. Lord, we pray that you help us to be busy in the end. Lord, watching and waiting. Lord, may we be light and salt in the dark world here. You help us to effectively witness for thee and to take good news to the ends of the earth. Father, we praise you for your grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. Lord, you bless us as we part now and go with thy blessing and favor. Lord, may you cause your face to shine upon us. May you guide us and direct our path, we pray. We ask all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. We're blessed.